Okay, what is hot button marketing?
More hot button marketing is selling to a consumer's heart and not the mind. Most purchases stem from emotional reasons. They do not stem from practical reasons. We may use practical reasons as rationalizations, but what they really want is to feel good about themselves and to make their lives more exciting for them. So look at the iPods. I mean, pretty soon you're not going to be allowed on an airplane without having an iPod.
Huh?
Yeah, everybody's got iPods these days.
Yeah, I got one as a beautiful gift for my birthday from my co-host on the Let's Talk Coaching show.
Now, I will do marketing classes for local schools. And every kid in every school in every income area comes with a cell phone and an iPod.
It's amazing, but why wouldn't we want to get back on, be let on the plane without one? I'm sorry, you made that statement. And
yeah, no, it was actually a poor attempt at humor.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get it. It went over my head there. I apologize. Okay.
I just see so many iPods on airplanes, you know.
Okay. Well, it's a great way, you know, it's a lot of small, compacted information that you can put in there. At first, I thought I had to use it for music, and I was going, what the heck do I want to do with music on the thing? But now I download radio talk shows and put on them.
The funny thing about the iPod is there were four companies who came out with products years before the iPod came out.
Yeah, I was surprised when I read that in the one of the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So what hot buttons did they use?
I got to get the best I can get. I got to get something new.
Oh, so they're the people that are living on the edge. They want the best, and they want to be ahead of everybody else?
Exactly.
Okay, so which button is that in your book?
That is...
Number 9, isn't it? The desire
to get
the best?
The best that can be got, right.
Oh, okay.
And it's also part of hot button belonging. If you don't have an iPod, especially that brand name, you don't belong to a particular clique.
Social acceptance, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, here's a question. I wrote this question down. I hope it makes sense. Does the amount of emotion needed to trigger depend on the dollars to be expended? In other words, do we have to put more emotion into the sales pitch or the sales program, marketing program? If it's $10 or $10,000, is there a difference between that?
No. There is no difference. You can have somebody wealthy who wants something very expensive, or you can have... Well, somebody wealthy who still needs the same rationalizations for spending $10 on anything. In fact, think about it this way. If you're coming off an airplane, and I know you're like me, you're on a lot of planes, and a $30 steak is no problem. But if you raise the price of milk 3 cents, people are going to complain. But they have emotion invested in that steak.
Okay, I'm trying to follow you. Keep going.
Yeah, so whatever the price is, price does not sell. And nobody's going to believe this. But the price is secondary to what a product does emotionally for us. The reason the iPod was priced high was to make it an in-demand product, to make it something special.
Okay.
So if they come up with a $40 product, people wouldn't buy the product. They wouldn't think it was anything special.
Okay.
So a price plays a part in the emotional value of a product, not so much in actual sales. In almost every category, you'll find a lowest price item. That's almost never the best-selling item.
Yeah. Well, they used to say back when I was learning marketing, which was probably 1968,
mm-hmm.
when I started going to school and specializing in that, that when you want to sell something, you want to sell it in threes. And people would majority, the moderate income people would buy the middle one.
Good, better, best, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the segment of the people who want the best that can be got, they're going to look at the higher price as, ooh, this must be a good product.
Okay. So it's their perception that it's a better product.
Right, it's all about perception. Totally
okay.
About perception.
You mentioned in the book, the car that you drive mm-hmm. will tell you what hot buttons have pushed them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. I love this subject. I wrote an article on that. The way you drive is the way you live your life. I love this topic. So tell me what, you know, how the car represents. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put myself on the can, they say, mm-hmm. and I'm going to tell you I drive a 1999 Dodge Intrepid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not a brand new car.
Now it's a hot car and it's time.
Oh, it is. It's still a hot car to me.
Yeah.
Okay. No payments. Mm-hmm. You know, drives like a dream, even after 7 years, 8 years now. Okay? So what does that tell about my hot buttons?
What it tells is because you want a sporty car. You are a little bit practical because you don't want car payments, and that you are pretty secure with yourself.
Hmm. Now, that's because you know something about me.
No.
No.
I can tell it just by the car you drive. You're driving in 1999. You could be driving in 2007. The car runs. The Intrepid's a good-looking car. It's a very hot car at one time. And it still looks good on the road.
Okay. Okay, so what hot buttons, though, because you've got a list of, what, 13 hot buttons in your book?
16.
16.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Now, also, what you're pushing there is the desire for control. You don't want car payments. You want things nice and level. And you're trying to control your life. So you're not buying a brand new car. You're controlling your financial situation.
Oh, cool. I like that, which is true. Very much true. What type of car do you drive?
This is embarrassing. This is an embarrassing.
No, then I don't want to embarrass you, so don't tell me.
No, I had a different car, but I was in a car accident, and the car was totaled.
Oh. You're okay, though, right?
Well, I was fine.
Okay.
And my kid was driving, and my kid's in India now, 1996 Kia. And he said, since I'm going to be in India, why buy a new car? Just use mine for now. So I'm supposedly the successful writer who has to park the car 4 miles from the client so they don't see it. I mean, yeah, you're doing really good. You're driving a Kia. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, it's the epitome of Korean engineering.
So what type of car? You've got a family values, number 5, is mm-hmm. happens to be one of the buttons, the hot buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So do they drive all those suburban vans or whatever you want to call those things?
Oh, they sure do. The SUV.
The SUV, right.
And the hot button on the SUV is one desire for control. If you happen to be in a New Mexican desert and you're on a mountain, oh, you can get there.
You can get there in
a Kia, too. But it's also family values. People are buying SUVs as a defensive mechanism right now to protect their families. They said, everybody else has an SUV. I better get one, too.
So they get hit. Their family is a little bit more protected on the road.
Right.
So number 6 is desire to belong.
Right.
Social acceptance. So those are the people that buy a new car every year or every 2 years and drive the car that has this perception to it, like BMW or something?
Like the Prius.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
The Prius is fascinating. Now, people will, first of all, if you pass another Prius on the road, they always show their lights or honk at you. Hello, I'm in your group. Why the Prius is fascinating, and I knew someone who bought it. She was going to choose between a BMW and a Prius. And she said she was buying the Prius because, you know, it's good for the environment. But no, that's not why they're buying the Prius. They're buying it because it's a cool car, and all the Hollywood stars have it. They look special going down the road. It's prestige.
Right. Listen, somebody, because number 8 is poverty of time. What
right.
type of car would somebody have if poverty of time was their emotional hot button?
Surprisingly, they would have a car like they just stopped making the Taurus. It gets you where you want to go. It gets you fast. And it held up pretty well.
Ah.
Actually, one of the reasons Taurus died was it became known as the car for people who haven't quite made it.
The wannabes.
Yeah, right. Can't afford something I really want, so the Taurus will work.
Well, the other thing that you can tell, though, too, which I really enjoyed reading about, was the person's office, because I studied with Dr. Susan Dillinger many years ago, and she wrote a book called Psychogeometrics. You probably want to read this book. It's really old, so it's going to take a while to find it. Maybe I don't even know if she's still alive. I know she retired in Florida many years ago. About 10 years ago, I think, or something. So hopefully you can find the book, but it's called Psychogeometrics, and mm-hmm. it uses geometric shapes for representation as to how people are going to respond.
Yeah,
I took that research and studied it extremely well because I typed her book. That's basically what I was doing. That was how I could get in there and talk with her about it. But, and I understood that, and I said, okay, I take these geometric shapes and put them into the sails, and when I go into somebody's office, if they have a Coke can on there or if they have, you know, family's pictures on there, basically, then you could tell a lot about them. Now, the question is, you've taken it just one step closer and said, okay, if they have certain things on their desk, and a lot of salespeople listening are going into these offices and seeing these things. So what is the hot buttons?
Okay, it's a fascinating question, and I learned this from a person named Bud Holbert. He's a sales trainer, and he trained my people. Now, most people, they go in, most entrepreneurs go in, they'll spend 90% of the time talking about themselves and their product. They should be spending 10%. And what they need to do is look at a person's office. Now, if a guy's got a picture of a sailboat, he wants to be an outdoors type. This is the way he wants to be represented. He wants to be an outdoors type. He wants to show he's got some money. And you need to sell. You need to talk about sailboats.
Well, that's a given. But, I mean, what's the hot button in relation to what you mentioned in the book?
That would be, it depends on, okay. Let's say, if you've got a sailboat, it might be the excitement of discovery.
That would be fun. Number seven, you have fun.
Or discovery. You might want to be a traveler and learn and go to new places.
Okay, which number was discovery?
Number three.
Right. Oh, excitement of discovery.
Right.
Oh, you got that. New places, you know, the lands. Oh, I got that. Okay. Now, keep going with the office stuff. I like this.
Okay. If a person's desk is messy, he's a doer. He gets a lot done at one time.
So what's the emotional button that corresponds with that?
That would be self-achievement.
Self-achievement?
Sure, he's got all these things going on.
That's number 10 in your book, right?
Right. In the book, they're not in any particular order, except it sort of sorted itself out. I mean, if we were talking about hot buttons, one of the third hot buttons would be sex. Sex still sells.
It's excitement of discovery, huh?
And the excitement of discovery, right? But sex sells as well as it ever did.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Okay, let's go back to the office again.
Okay.
Okay, so what happens if we see a Coke can?
A Coke can?
Yeah, just plain, Diet Coke or Coke. I don't care which one you choose.
Well, you just talk two different things. Now, if you're having Diet Coke, you're trying to look better.
Okay. So which emotional button is that?
That would almost be sex.
That would be three, excitement of discovery?
That would be almost be sex. Or reinventing oneself. Think about it. You're having a can of Coke.
Oh, that's true. Reinventing yourself.
Yeah. I want to become skinnier.
That's number 13, right?
Right. I want to become skinnier. So I'm going to drink Diet Coke.
So number 13, reinventing yourself, is getting rid of the baggage, whatever the baggage is.
Right, right.
And that's what credit card companies use, though, to push the buttons.
Oh, sure, platinum cards, titanium cards. Now, you know that American Express offers a black American Express card?
No.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be invited. You've got to have a net worth of at least $1 million. It costs you $7,500 a year. And boy, when you go out with somebody else and they pull out a black American Express card, it's the power of dominance, power and dominance.
That's number 15, huh?
Yeah, and you don't need it. The cheap cards work just as well.
Okay, what about a regular Coke can?
Wants enjoyment.
Okay, fun. Because that's what they sell in their advertisement, isn't it?
Fun, enjoyment, it's fun. They sell beer on the basis of the desire to belong to a certain group. So all of these play in every product that we buy. Now, do you know, here's something interesting and a little bit off the subject. What would you say is the second most used word in the world? Second most well-known word in the world.
Besides Bible?
Bible doesn't even make the list.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Sex?
Coca-Cola.
Is it really?
That's Coke. In fact, I was in China doing a presentation, and my visual aid was Coke. And we talked about how it came out there.
Wow, because everybody relates to that. That would be a great presentation just to talk about Coke.
Oh, yeah. And look at all the Cokes, the forms of Coke they have now. Now, when they started, used to be for, I guess, about 70 years, they were not Coca-Cola was not allowed to use Coke on any other brand because they were afraid of hurting the brand.
Right.
But they found out it just added to the prestige. And Coke is its own little world.
Wow. Well, we're coming down to our time, but one of the things, number four, you wrote, revaluing. And that is one of the hot buttons that I have not heard about that other people are talking about, and I thought it was very, very unusual, especially when you talked about baby boomers are revaluing, and I gather revaluing their life, right?
Yes.
They're taking stock of their life. Do they really want contentment and entertainment?
Well, I spoke to a cosmetic dentist in working on the book, and what he's saying is that these revaluers, who are baby boomers, they're saying, I'm not going to buy a car for my kid, I'm going to have my teeth fixed. And if you want an example of revaluing, look at the people who are spending all this money at stores like Whole Foods. And if you go there, all you hear is baby boomer music. So they want something, they're spending more money on themselves.
Oh, cool.
That's what they want to do.
Okay. So that's what you got to play up to in the marketing one if you have something that you're selling to baby boomers, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is get the special thing for you.
Wow.
You know, you've been putting up with your kids all your life. This is for you. This is my time to be alone. We were always the baby boomers. Now, I just told about my age. We were always the me generation. And we're the me generation again.
Yeah.
And we want that. We want a house, not as big, one that's self-cleaning, and we want a media center in it because we want that. And that's all part of revaluing. And they have to be sold differently than any other marketing group. They're more educated. They resent the hard sell, but they want to improve their lives and get things for themselves. And they don't want kids in their lives anymore except to visit and go home.
Well, that's not all of them, but that's the majority, correct?
It's the majority, yes.
Oh, okay. Let's see. How can people order this book?
You can get to Amazon.com.
Okay, Hot Button Marketing, right?
Hotbuttonmarketing.com.
Okay.
Or if they want to, and you can give this information after you leave the show, they can get an autographed copy from me.
Ooh, how do you do that? I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah, for $25, I'll send them an autographed copy direct from me.
Okay. And that would be what email address?
That would be feig@barryfeig.com.
feig@barryfeig.com.
Right.
Okay.
Also, Barnes & Noble has it. Amazon,
I think
Hastings,
she was telling me. She says they're all sold out, so it must have been my marketing. Huh.
Oh, that was terrific. Right. You're the one who bought the book. Huh?
Yeah. Well, they can go and they can buy it on these different websites, right?
Or they can go to my website, hotbuttonmarketing.net, but that'll only send you back to Amazon.
Okay, so they can get this autographed copy. Out of all the different things, we've only got like a minute.
Sure.
Is there anything specific that you want to say that is definitely a must that you've got to leave with listeners?
Sell to the heart, not to the mind.
Okay.
The heart will get you a lot more sales, and the mind will rationalize the sale.
Yeah, but don't they have to give some sort of rationalization, though, in order for them to tell their friends and family why they're buying?
Right. And that's where the mind comes in, but the heart is most important.
Okay. So the hot button is selling to the heart.
Selling to the heart.
And then the second step would be selling then to and giving them the
rationalization
that they can tell other people about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Barry, thank you so much for being on the air with us today. Boy, time flies, doesn't it?
It really does.
You know, I didn't even go to break there because we've been so flying in there, and I'm so fascinating with this book. And the fact that you shared the car stuff, I mean, it just blew my mind thinking about now I can look at somebody's car and I'm going, I know they're hot buttons. I know they're hot buttons.
Oh, you sure do. Yeah. If a person is driving a Toyota Corolla, He's a very practical person and probably has kids.
Wow. Shoot, I can't wait to get you back here on the show. Listen, I'm going to have to say goodbye because I need to give away an autographed copy of the Gimme book.
Good luck.
Okay?
I'll talk to you later.
You take care.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.